Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
I was reading a book a couple of weeks ago about the 50 days and events in human history that each changed the whole history and surprised people in different ways, both in negative and positive ways. And most importantly, Jesus' crucifixion was listed as one of those events that impacted everyone and changed the whole world. Not only his death on the cross was surprising, but his birth, his childhood, his teaching, his power to heal, his power over nature, his power over evil and darkness, his power over death, his resurrection from death, and his ascension into heaven, all surprising people, which all testify of his divine and supernatural power. Jesus' teaching left the crowds amazed and surprised because, unlike the Jewish religious leader, he taught them with love as one who had authority. So today, doctors, or in Jesus' times, the doctors could heal diseases with experience and medical treatment. But Jesus healed people with just a touch of the hand or a word of command. This would surprise people. Even those who opposed him admitted as much. They even were the first people to admit it. The centurion who was the witness of Jesus' crucifixion and death praised God. And he said, "Surely this was a righteous man." All people, Jews and Gentiles, men and women, young and old, poor and rich, slave and king, were all amazed by Jesus' power, and most importantly, by his love and compassion. Not only these people, but disciples were surprised too. When they were in a boat on a stormy sea, and all were terrified and helpless, Jesus calmed down the storm. And they got surprised and asked each other, "Who is this man? Even the wind and waves obey him." Disciples had been living with Jesus for almost 3.5 years. They traveled everywhere with him. They even left their business and occupation to be with him. They were always witness of Jesus' teaching and authority. But each time they encounter with Jesus, there's always a different level of surprise for them. Either because they didn't expect Jesus to do such a thing, or they didn't believe that what Jesus claimed will happen. Jesus had already told his disciples about his death, his resurrection, but they still get surprised because they did not expect it. Not at all. None of them. After Jesus' crucifixion on Friday in early morning of the first day of the week, which was the day after Sabbath or Shabbat, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb with an expectation. Gospel of Mark tells us that she was not alone. Mary, the mother of James, and Salome accompanied her too. The job of anointing the body of Jesus had been done quite hurriedly on Friday, because that was Friday evening, and at sundown the Sabbath began, and no one was to do any work at that point, and so with the Sabbath beginning, they could only do a kind of quick anointing job. And they wanted to just come back and finish the anointing. Now the Sabbath is finished. They had bought spices and had a plan for that day, to go and anoint their Lord's body, to go and sit beside his dead body. And while they anointing his body, they could mourn for their great loss. This was their expectation. Even they have a conversation on the way concerning about rolling the big stone from the tomb's entrance. They ask each other, who will roll the tomb? Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? From their perspective and point of view, their hope was gone. Their joy was gone. Their master, their Lord and Savior was dead. And now their only concern was to roll the stone to be able to anoint the body properly. All they wanted was to see their Lord's body for the last time and to say goodbye properly. This was the highest expectation that they had in their mind on that morning. But Mary and others get surprised here. When they arrived at the tomb, they get surprised. Mary saw that the stone had been already removed from the entrance. First of all, she assumes that someone stole the body. So I know that it might seem strange, but back in the olden days, in that time, grave robbery was a real problem and was considered as capital crime in those days. Even moving the stone, even if you didn't get into the tomb and take anything, but even if you just were caught moving the stone, you could be put into death. And this was probably Mary's biggest fear, that the body was stolen. So she runs to Peter and the other disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, and that's John's way of referring to himself, and said to them, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. They come and look, and they see the tomb is empty. The only thing they find is the strip of linen and lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. So finally, Peter and John went inside and looking at the empty tomb, and verse 8 says, he saw and believed. He saw and believed that Jesus' body is gone, but still didn't understand that Jesus had to rise from the dead. He believed what he saw, but still he didn't have a clue what it had to happen. None of them had a full understanding of what was going on. They were looking for the living among the dead. While he was not there, not missing nor stolen, but he was risen. Love was risen. Jesus was risen. The disciples went back to their homes, but not Mary. And we see that Mary stood outside the tomb and weeping. And she wept and bent over to look into the tomb again to make sure that the body is not there. All she knew was that the tomb was empty and that her heart was broken because the body of Jesus was missing. She was terrified, disappointed, sad, hopeless, amazed, and surprised by not finding the dead body. But when she looked into the tomb, she sees two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus was. They said to her, "Why are you crying? Why are you crying?" Then she turns around and sees Jesus standing, but she didn't know that it was Jesus. Again, Jesus asked the same question. "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Reasoned Jesus himself is talking to Mary, and she's still looking for the dead body in the tomb. And then in probably one of the most beautiful scenes that we read in this entire Gospel of John, Jesus said to her, "Just one word. Just one word. And that's it all." He says, "Mary." He just says, "Mary." He just said her name. And that's where Mary recognized her Lord. Peter, John, Mary, and other disciples, they all got surprised two times at least here. The first surprise is by not finding the dead body in the tomb, as they expected. They expected to go and see the dead body, and they get surprised because they couldn't find it. And the second time, by encountering with risen Jesus, as they didn't expect. They didn't expect that scene. Different expectations caused them to face their biggest surprise of their entire lives. If Jesus' life, his miracles, his teaching, his ministry stand far above all other in human history, then his resurrection, his bodily coming back to life, must rank as the single biggest event in world history. In Iranian culture, when people face problems and challenges in life, usually others tell them, "Don't worry, there is a solution for every problem. Only death has no problem. Has no solution." Our expectation and experience of this world is that dead people do not come back to life. Despite the fact that Jesus' disciples had been witness of his ministry, his miracles, and his authority, despite the fact that Jesus had already told them that he would rise from the dead, they were still struggling with believing this fact. Jesus' resurrection changed his disciples' expectation, changed their mindset and their whole world. Jesus' resurrection changed the history, changed us today, and is changing our tomorrow and future. One of the disciples named Thomas doubted, but when he saw Jesus for himself, he was convinced. Jesus then said to him something that reaches out to us today. He says to Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." In other words, he promises that those who believe in him today and tomorrow, and believing in his resurrection, are blessed ones. My brothers and sisters, Jesus is beautiful. His great love on cross is beautiful. Even more beautiful than the cross that we made today here with flowers. That's why we call the Friday Good Friday. And we celebrate the risen Jesus today in Easter, because his whole ministry, his death on the cross, and most importantly, his victory over death is beautiful. Jesus' resurrection was the final proof of his claim to be God in human flesh. That that he is the image of the invisible God. He is the true God, greatest love, who can forgive our sins. He can restore our broken relationship with God. His resurrection means that he is still alive today. His victory over death is permanent, is not temporary. His resurrection, and knowing that he's alive, it's assurance of future, that he will be back one day. He spoke about his return in vivid language. He says, "But in those days the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, everybody will see Jesus coming in cloud with great power and glory." Jesus predicted many things in the course of his life and ministry and his death that did come true. In fact, his second coming is the only prophecy he made that has still yet to be fulfilled. I was born in a Muslim country and grew up in a Muslim family. Before my life-changing experience with Jesus, I did everything as the Islamic law told me to do, to feel God's presence and to please him. But Jesus' resurrection, Jesus' death on the cross, changed my entire life and mindset and changed my expectations. I did not expect my sin would be forgiven by him. I did not deserve his love. I did not expect at all to feel the presence of Lord in my life. But Jesus showed that what I once thought was valuable is worthless. I could not make myself acceptable to God by obeying the law. Today we all gather here to celebrate Jesus' victory over death. His resurrection has changed our lives in many ways. His life shows us what God is like. His death was the climax of his ministry and mission. And his resurrection is the best explanation of the living hope we have in Jesus for his second coming. His empty tomb and the changed life of his followers over the last 2,000 years declare that he is alive. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even though they die." My brothers and sisters, look around. The pain we are witnessing in this world is real. And the need for a savior is undeniable. As we face so many unknowns in life, we may remember the simple truth of Easter, that the stone's been rolled away. The grave is empty. Jesus is alive, and love has risen. Amen.